Grace, mercy, and peace be with you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There's an old saying that says you can tell a lot about a people or a person by their eyes. We can tell according to studies whether a person is happy, sad, angry, or confused just by looking at the person's eyes. So if that's the case, what would a person's eyes look like if they were filled with rage? Or maybe we don't have to wonder. Perhaps you've seen it in your own face at one time as you glanced in the mirror. Well, whatever your eyes looked like, there's a name we have for it. It's referred to as the evil eye. And that's how I envision the eyes of the chief priests and scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, as they plotted Jesus' death. You see, they were filled with hatred and murder as they gazed upon Jesus, being greeted with praise in Jerusalem during Holy Week. And before that, when face to face with Jesus, they heard him speak woes and reproaches to them. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites," said Jesus. "For you build the tombs of the prophets and decorate the monuments of the righteous, saying, 'If we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets.' Thus you witness against yourselves that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers." Jesus spoke this way to them not with anger in his own eyes, but with love. It was what they needed to hear so they would recognize their hypocrisy and repent. You see, Jesus already knew what was in their hearts. He knew exactly that the chief priests and scribes, the Pharisees and Sadducees, were no different than their fathers before them. So Jesus challenges them to push things forward to their logical conclusion. "I know your hearts. I can see the murder in your eyes. Go ahead. Walk in the steps of your fathers. Why don't you go ahead and kill me too and continue your family tradition?" So, how does all this pertain to us? Well, to the best of my knowledge, none of us have taken the life of someone else except possibly during war times. And I don't believe anyone is contemplating taking someone else's life in the near future. So all this talk about murder is just a waste of our time. Well, not so fast. Remember the evil eye? You know, that look you get in your eyes when you're really mad at someone? Possibly even hate that person? Well, Jesus has words for you tonight, too. Words of love so you also can recognize your hypocrisy and repent. They're recorded in St. John's Gospel. "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." And a bit later, "If anyone says, 'I love God,' and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen." In other words, if I claim to love God, but have hate toward someone else, I am both a murderer and a liar, and cannot love God. And if I don't love him, then I must hate him. I've said it before and I'll say it again. You can lie to someone else. You can even lie to yourself. But you cannot lie to God. He knows what's in your heart. He knows all those times you hated someone else, maybe even wishing that they were dead. That's enough to make you a murderer in God's sight and place you under his wrath. As Jesus pointed out, the chief priests and scribes, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, filled up the measure of their fathers in tonight's Passion reading. And if we're honest with ourselves, we must see ourselves right along with them. And that's what makes our Lord's Passion that much more amazing. That the Father would allow his Son to be murdered at the hands of sinful men just to save a bunch of rotten, rebellious sinners with eyes filled with rage against God and man. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans, "But God chose his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God." The wrath of God is not a murderous glance from the Father, but a look of righteous judgment upon the guilt of sin. We all deserve God's wrath, but instead of giving us what we deserved, God put it on Jesus, and Jesus willingly took it for us men and for our salvation. From the cross, Jesus looked upon the masses of humanity and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Original sin, which produces lies, hatred, murder, and every other sin, is so deep a corruption that we cannot recognize the depravity of what we think, say, and do unless it is revealed by God's Word. But once our murderous eyes have looked in horror on what we have really done, nailing the innocent Son of God to the tree with our sins, then we also are ready for the joyful good news of the forgiveness of all our sins for the sake of Christ's voluntary sacrifice at the hands of murderers, the death by which he has extinguished the wrath of God toward us. As Paul continued, "For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. So rejoice in Christ, who has turned your murderous eyes away from sin, guilt, and despair, and lifted them up to look upon himself as your Savior. In our Savior's name, amen."